Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I realize what time it is. Does anybody have a reservation somewhere? You do have a reservation? If you can squeeze one more into your reservation, I'll finish in about 20 minutes. If not, we're going to go all day. All right, I heard some all days, okay. John chapter 4, verse 23, verse 24, the New International Version reads it like this. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in the Spirit and in truth. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm wired for worship. You may be seated. This is our second installment in Wired for Worship. 20 minutes ago, right here in this building, 15 minutes ago, right here in this building, is the type of worship that is described in John chapter 4. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. One thing that this wall being out has taught me is learn the lyrics. Because, man, some of those songs I'm saying, let your spirit fall, and then the next time, or for us Holy Ghost people, we can always play it off. Let your spirit fall. Yay. Thursday night, we had acoustic worship. One acoustic guitar, two voices leading. Another thing I found out at acoustic worship is a lot of time we're depending on their worship. But when it's our voice, our posture, our heart, and the worship now is on us, it changes things. So this is a conversation that Jesus is having with the woman that we call the Samaritan woman, the woman from Samaria. And they're having a discourse about worship, and I don't know if we'll get exactly there today, but last session we just jumped in, and just to run back real quick through this, we talked about that we are created to worship. That our creative purpose, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, that we are literally created by God to have relationship with him, that he sent Jesus because there was a chasm between us and the Father, that sin separated us, and so that Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with God, and worship is one of those things that connects us with God. And I love this, that not only connects us, but keeps us connected with God. That's why our worship has to be a beyond a Sunday expression, beyond 20 or 30 minutes on Wednesday night, but worship has to be all day, every day. Whether you have the lyrics, whether you have the melody, or whether you are presenting your body a living sacrifice and worshiping with your life, we were created to worship. Isaiah 43:21 says, the people I formed for myself, this is God talking, that they may proclaim my praise. We talked about praise can be praise, thanking God without ever being worshiped, but worship includes praising God for things he's done, but worshiping God for who he is. We talked that we are literally wired for worship. God gave us hands to lift up in surrender and to wave before God. God gave us a voice, and he says things like, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So it doesn't have to be as perfect as you heard today. It doesn't have to be, and listen, you don't have to know, thank God, every lyric to every song. Because more than the lyrics coming out of your mouth, he's looking at our hearts. He's looking at our posture. He's looking at the way that we are connecting with him. We are wired for worship. Never mistake your profession for your purpose. Your profession is what you do. Your purpose is who you are. What you do and who you are are two entirely different things. And the last thing we talked about is that worship is eternal. Revelation 7, 9, verses 9 through 11, it gives us a prophetic look as John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, this is what I see. He said, I see a host of people who are so many that I cannot even number, and they're all wearing white robes with palm branches in their hand, and they're extolling the goodness of God that is in heaven. Oh, how good is that day going to be when we get to heaven and we don't have to worry about our job, we don't have to worry about relationships, we don't have to worry about wars and rumors of wars and the things we've lost, but forever and ever, it's eternity, we will stand before God and we will worship Him. We will cast our crowns at His feet and say, you are the King of all the kings and the Lord of all the lords. You are greatly to be praised and no nobody is like you. You say, I don't know if I can worship for eternity. Then I don't know if you can or want to go to a place called heaven, because that's where I want to be and that's what I want to do. See, as a pastor, I have to make difficult decisions. Made one 15 minutes ago. Do we keep worshiping or do we stop and hear the word? See, because selfishly, I just wish we could have worshiped about another 40 minutes. But then God says, no, we're going to share the word. Why? Because they can worship on their own time. And they are worshiping on their own time. As a believer, you are a worshiper before you are anything else. You're a worshiper before you're an employee, before you're a business owner. You're a worshiper before you're a spouse, before you're a parent, before you're a daughter, before you're a son, before you are a leader, which means this: if I'm not worshiping, I am not doing, and I cannot be a good version of a husband, a son, a father, a leader, an employee. I've got to be the worshiper that God has created me to be. And when I become a worshiper, everything else that I am, it levels up and I become more like Jesus. Amen? Moving on to new material. I said a couple weeks ago that my best worship is not at Living Way. I stand by that. It's not at Living Way on a Sunday or Wednesday led by this great team, but it is in my truck. It's in my secret place of thunder. It's in my office after everybody has left for the day. It's in my barn when nobody, come on, my horse is here and watch me worship in the deepest of anybody. And so there's a lot of times when God tells me to turn off the noise of this world and raise the volume of my worship. I told you just a couple weeks ago, I was driving 70 miles an hour down I-10. I always make that mistake. 75 miles an hour down Interstate 10, and I was listening to one of my favorite bands, the Dave Matthews Band, which I found out last week none of y'all know, so I'll move past that. Turned them off, and God said, let's worship. Turned on worship, turned on Sinking Deep by Hillsong Young and Free, and the Shekinah glory came in that truck. And I'm going to tell you something, there was things that happened in that truck that I can't get doing anything else. There are things that happen in that truck that I can't get at a concert, that I can't get in a courtroom, that I can't get from a doctor, that I can't get from a banker or a financier. There are some things, can I just be honest with you? There's some things I got in that truck by myself that I can't get when everybody else is around. It happened again. This week I was listening to the Doobie Brothers. Any Doobie Brother fans? All right, we got 8 of y'all. Praise God. Michael McDonald. I was shocked when I found out that dude was white. I was shocked. I was listening to What a Fool Believes. He came from somewhere back in a long ago. That's my best I got. God said, turn it off. He said, you shouldn't be listening with anything with Doobie in the title anyway. So I turned on Maverick City and Amanda Lean Back. And man, when they hit that bridge about, I don't know, 8 minutes in, I thought I knew what love was. I thought I knew what, again, God shows up. And man, when God shows up, the pressures of this life leave. When God shows up, all of my fears dissipate. When God shows up, everything that I thought was important is now a distant second and third. And what I found out is sometimes the problems don't change, but through worship and rendezvousing with God, I change. And when I come out of my worship experience, I find out that thing that I was scared of is not anything to be scared of. Why? Because I'm reminded that I serve a big God. I'm reminded of the promises of God. I'm reminded through worship that my God is God all by himself. We're created to worship. We're wired for worship. Worship is eternal. This is how I know these things. Not just because of the psalm that I read you. Not just because of the things that we've taught and preached and learned growing up in Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches like this. This is how I know, because the first worshiper was the archangel Lucifer. There's three archangels. There's Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer is the archangel of worship. Michael is the archangel of word. Gabriel is the archangel of word. Michael is the archangel of warfare. All W's, war, word, and worship. Gabriel and Michael are still operating in their creative places. However, Lucifer was created to be a worshiper. That's where preachers get cute and say that Lucifer was the worship leader of heaven, which indeed is true. He was the most beautiful of all three archangels. Ezekiel 28 tells us about him. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Talking about Lucifer literally was covered in diamonds and rubies and sapphires. The sardius, the topaz, the diamonds, the beryls, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold covered his body. Which leads me to tell you this, your worship is beautiful. Have you ever been with somebody that got some bling, got a new ring? Listen, and I always tell these young guys that we're pastoring and raising up, don't get those big earrings that we all know is fake. You 13 years old and you play Xbox 9 hours a day. There is no way those are real. You need to get them a size where we think those might be real. Don't get that Mr. T starter kit that we know that's like 28 ounces of gold. There ain't no way that's real. But when Lucifer would just show up, he was known as the worshiper. Can I tell you that when we worship, all of heaven's like, hold up. Look at San Antonio today. Look at Living Way today. It's like that bright light in the distance that catches your eye. That's why when we worship, God shows up. Remember just a few Sundays ago, praise, it paves the way. Well, worship catches God's attention. And he says, I remember I made Lucifer that beautiful, but Lucifer couldn't operate in that office. But oh, I created a people that when they begin to worship, they catch my eye. When they begin to worship, there is a beauty that comes that does not happen through any other thing that they do. He was covered in all of these precious stones. And I love this. The workmanship. He said, how he was made, thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou was created. This is what God said. He said, I created you. You looked beautiful. Tabrets and pipes. His body was literally filled with holes. Tabrets would be where we get our word tambourine. There was places on him that when he moved, music happened. The pipes were in such a way, oh, this is going to preach good. I didn't even think about this until right this second. Those pipes were, even when he stood still, that fresh wind we talked about, when it would blow through the pipes, there was a melodic melody that would come from his body. Which I love. I love the illustration of this. That means wherever Lucifer went, whether he was standing still, he was a worshiper. When he started moving, he made music. Can I encourage you, as the people of God, we were wired to worship. Your worship doesn't have to stay at Living Way. Your worship doesn't have to just happen when all things are great. But whether you are on your knees, you're worshiping. Whether you are standing on your feet, you're worshiping. In the valley, when the wind blows, oh, come on, storm. Bring the best wind you have, because when it blows through me, it's coming out on the other side as a testimony of my worship, my praise. I'm wired for this. I'm wired for this. I'm wired for this. The way that God created Lucifer with the tablets and the pipes was so that whenever Lucifer was standing still or moving, he was worshiping. But when you go on to verse 17 of the 28th chapter, it says this: thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold. He said, you fell in love with the sound of your own voice. You were standing in the mirror watching yourself worship, and you started saying, look at me. Look how beautiful I am. Gabriel and Michael don't have anything on me. But let me remind you, Lucifer, you did not create that body. You did not create the stones that cover that body. You did not fashion the tablets. You did not fashion the pipes that make your body what it is. Can I encourage you? Let's not fall in love with who we are or who we become or where we're headed. Let's remember, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, some of us would still be strung out on drugs. Some of us would be 6 feet under. Some of us wouldn't have lived through COVID. Some of us wouldn't live through the attack. But thanks be to God. That's why I worship, not because of me. Oh, I am a miserable wretch without Christ. But hey, under the blood of Jesus, I'm somebody. Under the anointing of God, I'm somebody, and I'm headed to the place God has called me to be, and that is why I'm a worshiper. You give me a compliment, I'm deflecting it. It's not me, it's the one that created me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm wired to worship. Wired to worship. Verse 17 gives us the telltale sign. It said, your heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. When Lucifer's heart wasn't right, his worship became meaningless. When his worship became meaningless, his position became meaningless. When his position became meaningless, his presence became meaningless. And when his heart didn't match his worship, God said, goodbye. Put him down on earth. Worship the wrong way took Lucifer from heaven to earth, to hell. Worship the right way will take you from heaven through hell, from earth through hell to heaven. Let me back up and try that again. Lucifer's worship in his heart, because he would not let it worship, took him from heaven to earth to hell. But our worship as believers takes us from earth through hell to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to be an eternal worshiper. Every Sunday, this is practice. Every Monday, it's rehearsal. Every Tuesday, I'm warming up my pipes. Every Wednesday, I'm making sure my arms are ready to praise him. If you were to tie my arms down, I still have my mouth. If you were to put a gag on me, I'd still bob my head. If you were to put me in a place where I couldn't move at all, every time my heartbeat, it would be beating because of God and worshiping him. Everything I do because of you. He said, you can't stay here. Catch this. You can't stay here if you're not going to do what I created you to do. You say, what does that mean for me? Worshippers have VIP access to the presence of God. And if you are not going to worship, there are some places that are not accessible. Oh, I'm going to preach myself happy. There are some places you can't go in God unless you're a worshiper. Well, it's just not in my personality. You better change your personality. Well, it's just not in my, I can't act like that in church. Yet you act like that in the club for a devil that was trying to drag you to hell. Look at what the Lord has done. If you bumped in the club, you better bump in the church house. If you worship some woman or some man, you better worship God. God Monday through Sunday. You can't stay here if you're not going to worship. He evicted Lucifer. Give me about two more minutes. He evicted Lucifer. And then he looked at Michael and Gabriel and said, we have to have worship. Gabriel said, well, I'll lead worship. And God said, no, Gabriel, you're the word angel. It's like when you watch TBN and the preachers are trying to sing, or the singers are trying to preach, stay in your lane, Gabriel. He said, Michael, he said, hey, I'll lead worship. He said, we don't need a warring angel leading worship. Worship is an intimate encounter and experience, and all you want to do is lop people's heads off. Michael, stay in your lane. Well, what are we going to do? God said, I've got an idea. See, what is that idea in the Bible, Genesis 1:1? In the beginning. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Don't you know on day 5, Gabriel and Michael are whispering behind God and they're saying, that thing they call a hippopotamus, I don't think that can worship like Lucifer did. I know where I'm going, and you're about to find out. It's so good. He said, that thing they call a draft, I don't think that can worship like Lucifer. Then God has a conversation with himself. And this is what God says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. He said, let us make man in our image. You say, where are your diamonds? I don't have diamonds. Say, where are your carbuncle? Where's your sapphire? I don't have none of that. Where's your pipes? Where's your tabret? I don't have any of that. I'm not beautiful like Lucifer, but I look like God. And I'd rather look like God than look like him. I'd rather sound like God than sound like him. And so on the sixth day, he said, I'm making the replacement for Lucifer. And out of the dust, he began to form and fashion. And at the end of the process, what did he do? He put his breath in man. Man became a living, breathing being that looks like Jesus. That's why racism is alive from the pit of hell, because we all look like God. He's brown, black, white, pink, yellow, orange, red. We look like him. That's why when he would say in song, let everything that has breath praise him. God saying, hey, I remember giving you that breath when I created you to worship. The last thing, the least thing you can do is give me back my breath in the form of worship. Stand on your feet. I'm wired to worship. I'm wired to worship. I don't sing as good as Angela, but I look like Jesus. I don't sing as good as Jade, but man, I was created for this. I took Lucifer's spot. I know I'm not covered in diamonds and sapphire. I know I'm not leading all of heaven in angelic hymns. Oh, when I begin to worship, God says, there's my son. He looks just like me. And I think I ended last week with this, but I don't know, so I'm going to say it again. Lucifer never worshiped without being in heaven in the presence of God. So God made this deal with man. He said, wherever you worship, I'll bring heaven to you. Because you took Lucifer's place, and Lucifer was in heaven leading worship, and he never had to lead it without me there. And he said, I'll make this deal with you. Anytime you say hallelujah, I'm showing up. Anytime you lift your hands in worship, I'm there. It can be at 2 a.m. and the doctor's in the hospital room. I'm there. For the suicidal, put the gun down, put the razor blade down, put the bottle of pills down. Maybe you're watching online right now, live. Maybe you're watching archive 10 years from today and you stumbled on this message right now. I'm telling you, put down the weapon, put down the pills, and lift your hands and begin to glorify God. Why? Because he's going to show up right where you are. You're beautiful. You look like God. You're valuable. My worship. Your worship. Your worship. You never look more like God than when you worship. You never look more like God than when you worship. If you're in this house today, as we get ready to lay hands on those in this altar, if you're in this house today and you don't know Jesus,